You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. The dynamic duo is back again after the weekend. Colton Molesky, Trey Flynn, and we're just going to be talking more All-Star Game. We're going to be talking about our five favorite things from the weekend and interweave some of the breakdown of what happened over the weekend into that discussion. Trey, I know that we were both excited for these events. I don't know. It's always where after a weekend you see all these people come out and they're really upset about stuff that happens in the All-Star Game, or really upset about the competitions and really peeved that people enjoy. There's just this slew of people that seem to really be upset that other people could even possibly enjoy such events.
Yeah, it was interesting because like I was going into this All-Star weekend being a little bit more excited than usual or the past few years. And I think it's just been the hype surrounding how a lot of guys are going to take it more seriously. And while like I really enjoyed about probably 4/5 of this, I would say 80% of All-Star Weekend, there was definitely some room there for people to be a little skeptic about whether some guys were trying super hard in some of these events. And we'll get to it. But overall, it was a great time. I'm really excited for these players to get some rest too this week before they start playing on Thursday and Friday. So I really love All-Star Week in general, so it was a lot of fun.
And you know what? Effort is where I would love to start off these rankings, because the fifth, we're going to go from 5 to 1, our favorite things that happened over the All-Star break. Right away at 5, effort from 2 Chainz. I mean, come on, everybody says that people don't try during the All-Star weekend. He's taken off, I think that's the first time I've seen him in public with sunglasses off. He sunk like 8 of the 13 shots for his team. Shaq's there cheating, and 2 Chainz is out there trying to get away a win in an honest way against Quavo. And who was on Quavo is like Kenny and Quavo. And so I appreciate 2 Chainz's effort. I appreciate his respect for the rules and the integrity of the game. But that was one of my favorite things that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. Celebrity games get a little crazy. I know Quavo's been out there like on Instagram showing off a shot and his prowess on the Olympian basketball court, wherever he's at. So that's always a lot of fun to watch those guys. 2 Chainz is a lot of fun too. I'm just glad, I don't believe he was out there. I'm just glad Justin Bieber is not out there anymore, like throwing alley-oops. That always frustrated me a little bit.
Pop a shot for the win. How about yourself, my man?
Let's see here. I would say, in no specific order to kind of start this off, I really enjoyed seeing a surprise here with the Basketball Africa League. I did not see that coming. And if listeners did not hear that, essentially the NBA and FIBA are backing up this new league that's going to hold reportedly 12 teams in Africa. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And players like, actually it's going to be, 16 teams it looks like now. They're going to try to back this league up more. And the idea here is just to create another international NBA league. They've already attempted before. They've already founded a type of league to find guys like Joel Embiid or Luke Mabamute. And to find those guys, it takes a lot of effort and work. And so with them putting all this money into this real type of program here, a real kind of league that they're going to go and run from several countries across the continent, will be a lot of fun. So I think that's going to be really, really exciting. And I think Barack Obama said he's going to have a huge role in this league, which is surprising. I'm not really sure what his position is going to be, but I just thought it was dope to see a Barack Obama FIBA-backed Basketball Africa League before All-Star Weekend even started to kind of set these things off for a positive note.
No, yeah, I love this as well. This is actually my fourth favorite thing from the weekend. I really like that the NBA is really good at taking advantage of kind of a global brand that is basketball. I mean, they do already all the stuff in China in the preseason. And they have all their players going over there in the off season, and so they're doing a bunch of work there and kind of almost giving a little more life to the Chinese league over there. And then they do like the London games that go really well and actually I think are a lot more successful than the NFL London games. So I just think that the NBA not only is doing a good thing by giving talented players in a different country an opportunity to maybe show their skill and maybe find an easier route to the NBA. But I also think they're really good at taking advantage of the global brand that is the NBA. So that was one of my favorite things from the weekend.
For sure. And like you said, which is a good way to put it, the way they've globalized the game of basketball has been fantastic. I think they've essentially looked at everything football's done wrong in the NFL and everything FIFA's done right with soccer. And they've kind of just created the FIBA and had NBA kind of just like take over international basketball. I think the next step is to really hone in on European players. Like, I think they're trying to do more of the African route right now and to get different countries around Africa too. Just because I feel like they have essentially left out a lot of talent there for such a long time. And they created this program in the 70s. So now they're just following through with it, with all the money that the NBA has. If anything, it's like, it's taken long enough. So I'm really glad they're doing this. It's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, Colton, let's hear your fourth. Or is this your fourth?
This is my fourth. I'm going to go third favorite thing from this weekend. The maturity of the young players, specifically Jason Tatum. He was hammered away a lot of this weekend with questions about how it felt to be kind of involved and surrounded in trade talks for the first time and kind of be this major piece in the Pelicans trade talk. And he was unshaken and unflappable in the face of those questions. And he was just a professional. He was a consummate pro. And I feel like in a couple other, and it's not crazy rampant, but there is, it seems like, especially in the NFL, there is maybe some maturity. Sometimes there's a little bit of lack of grooming. I like when this is the sport that I cover primarily, and this is my favorite sport just to watch year-round. This is always the one I usually tend to go to is basketball for viewing, and because I cover it as a job. I like that the young guys are so well put together, and I know it's not 100% across the board, but for the most part, the young crop of players that have entered the league over the last couple of years are just really well prepared for the NBA media circus and well prepared to be professionals. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that when you're hitting the guy who is, I believe he's younger than me, with all these questions about getting traded and about how his team might ship him off to somewhere else for another player, that he just wasn't shaken up by that, that he was just there to enjoy the festivities of All-Star Weekend, and that he's going to keep coming out and keep being a professional, even with that kind of looming over this year for him. So I appreciate how professional these really young guys are in the game of the NBA.
Yeah, I think this is a really good shout out, not just Jason Tatum, but to all these young players. If anything, watching that Team World versus Team USA game, I don't really necessarily have anybody from that game on my list. But just watching that game kind of showed people that when LeBron leaves, the NBA is going to be okay. There's a lot of players to turn to for stardom. And if you look in the All-Star game, looking at Giannis and Ben Simmons, it's pretty obvious that you're going to have two guys right there off the top that are already looking like LeBron. So that they're going to be fine. I mean, it's going to be fine without LeBron James. And I know it's a long time from now, but it's just great to see the professionalism that LeBron's kind of set the tone for. Michael Jordan set the tone for, and other players before him, that these players have kind of adapted to. And I think it's also really cool to see young guys kind of be so self-aware, because in the past, obviously they didn't have social media. So the young guys know that every word they use, or they have to watch their language very carefully, and they have to kind of be in a good mood 100% of the time, or people will start making like dramatic opinion pieces about what's wrong with them. And so for better or worse, they realize all this, and they also realize they're making millions of dollars. So, and that's I think it's the best thing that separates them from past generations of players here. So I'm really excited for this group of young guys. Jason Tatum especially had a great game in the Team World versus Team USA. He obviously won the skills challenge, which was fantastic. I expect him to be back there next year and just try it again. I wish that challenge was a little bit more fun. I do wish they would add something different to it, because now I think guys are just going through the motions a lot of times. Like, I was watching Nikola Jokic do it, and he was like, I didn't really want to run full speed when I was going down the basketball court. They were like, what's your least favorite part about this? He's like, the running. And that for the All-Star game too. So, like, I think like guys like that, maybe we should not bring them back in these, because it just kind of didn't seem not worth it. Anyways, for my fourth selection here, I have Joe Harris winning the 3-point contest, which you called, Colin, on the podcast. So shout out you. And I had Seth Curry, and I think I said Joe Harris like as a second here, or maybe even a third idea. But I essentially said that because, and I know you probably said Joe Harris will win it because he's been such an underrated player this year. And he's been an underrated player since he's been in the league, frankly. He even was quoted after he won that the team that he's on currently makes him feel like they're the bunch of cast-offs that were never given an opportunity, and this, in a way, is their second opportunity. And, you know, he talked about how he puts an emphasis on the Brooklyn culture, and he's a byproduct of their system of guys giving up on them. And so I think that a player that knows who's so self-aware and knows where his spot is on the Brooklyn Nets team kind of took this 3-point invitation to come to this game with a lot of happiness. Because a lot of times players will get these invitations and be like, ah, crap, I got to go to the 3-point contest again. Oh, this sucks. And Joe Harris is out here being like, this is like my moment. And I think that's really cool to see. And I guess that's the whole point of these all-star competitions, is because you can play against the best 3-point shooters of all time, and Steph and Dirk and Damian will probably be one of them, and Clay. So, and Devin Booker. So there's a lot of really good shooters, and Joe Harris ended up winning, and he had a great final round. He beat Curry by only 2 points. Curry was coming back at the end, but couldn't catch up to Harris quite soon enough. So shout out for Joe Harris. I'm glad he won this. Product of UVA, really good player, and I hope he has a long career in Brooklyn. He also seems like a really good guy.
Big win for Beards. Big win for Beards, yes. Everywhere. We're going to get to a break for some sponsors, and we're going to keep talking about our all-star highlights. But first, some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky. We've been talking about our favorite things from the All-Star Weekend. We're going to keep it going here. Trey, what was the third thing that you loved from All-Star Weekend?
I loved, and this is going to sound a little distasteful, but I think it's just kind of interesting how low our standards are. And I don't know, listeners, I have no idea what Colton thinks about this, but I love the overreaction of the Hamidou Diallo dunk competition in this one. Like, him winning this dunk competition was cool because he's a young player and he has a certain like confidence to himself that I appreciate for a young guy who doesn't get a lot of minutes in OKC. So like, I really hope the best for him. And I think he's gonna be a pretty solid role player off the bench, not just as a high flyer. He's actually a very lengthy wing on defense. That's a helpful guy, especially on help IQ. And so he has a lot of good attributes to him moving forward as a player, but just kind of like the hype surrounding the dunk and what exactly happened. Like, I think people kind of get lost in the moment. Like, he dunked over Shaquille O'Neal, but all of these guys could have dunked over Shaquille O'Neal. So it's just, I guess it's the idea that he thought of dunking over Shaquille O'Neal and then tearing open his jersey with like a Superman underneath. Like, it was like a cool metaphorical situation that I was like, okay, I can kind of see what's going on here. But the way people responded to that dunk was unworldly. Like, I thought my favorite thing was just like taking a seat laughing, because there's no all-stars in this dunk contest. There's no guys. There's like, we just watched Giannis destroy all these dunks we've witnessed over the dunk contest in the all-star game. He pretty much gave us a dunk contest in the all-star game. And we're watching guys like Miles Bridges and Hamidou Diallo do some pretty sweet dunks, but they're not even close to being top 25 dunkers in the league. And like, I think that says a lot about what this dunk contest could be for the future. And I know Donovan Mitchell said he'll do a dunk contest next year on Twitter, and Giannis said he'll join them or something to that extent. And so that's a possibility, but I just want to see something different. So this is one of my favorite events, just to see people try to like blow this up, because I think that they had no other choice, because there's nothing else to really gas up in this dunk contest.
All right, I've got a lot of thoughts about Diallo, and I've got a lot of roasting to do of you, but that was my favorite thing over the weekend, so I'm going to save that for a second, because I want to get to how good it makes me feel to see Dwayne Wade and LeBron James play together again. I don't know, don't you just get the warm and fuzzies when they're throwing lobs to each other, and when they're recreating the dunk, that picture that kind of defined that run that they had together, and they're recreating that dunk, and there's the long lob to Dwayne Wade for the dunk. I don't know. It something about seeing Dwayne Wade and LeBron James play together, it gives me the warm fuzzies, and you can really tell that they really enjoy being out on the basketball court together and doing something that they love so much together. It's nice to have some really good friends back together, even if it's just for an all-star game, back together one more time before Dwayne Wade's done with this run.
For sure. And I was really nervous about Dwayne Wade in this game. I thought he was going to play more minutes than he did, and it would be kind of embarrassing. Kind of like Dirk. When Dirk went in, and he shot that first three, I was like, oh, shit. this could easily just be an air ball right now, and this could be a really sad performance. Then he hit three threes in a row, and I'm freaking out on my couch in the living room for apparently no reason because he leaves right after that. But, like, it was just really cool to see him do that. But back to Wade and LeBron, it's a great one, Colton. I really like that a lot, especially because somebody put the picture, the OG picture of, you know, Wade throwing off to LeBron to dunk it, and Wade's arms are in the air, like, looking down at the camera. And then someone put that picture of the newest dunk below that, and it looks like he's looking down at the dunk that they did yesterday. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool situation. It's going to be a great Photoshop for years to come. So is that your number two? I think that's a great one. Is that what
it is? It is.
Okay. Let's see here. My number two is probably just going to be a shout out to Team LeBron, because I just really thought Team Giannis was going to pull through here. I just don't think it can be said enough. Like, I know Colton's already said it, and I've said it too. It's like Giannis and guys like Russell Westbrook, their intensity in these games, I really thought was going to win games. Unfortunately, I don't think the roster was built up enough to hold off the bench to get them going enough in that second half. And Team LeBron scored 20 straight points in the fourth quarter. And players like Steph Curry went completely cold in the fourth and couldn't do anything. And so it was just really, really unfortunate to see Team Giannis, like, give up that early in the fourth, because they kind of – Team LeBron pulled away. And essentially, like, I just get annoyed with these All-Star games, because every year they're trying to, you know, gas them up and trying to say that, like, guys are going to try harder, or these certain players have beef. Like, I know Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid were going at it in the beginning of the game. And it's just not true. Like, obviously there's, like, drama between some players, but, like, nothing is going to happen. And NBA's really got to negatively incentivize these players to try. And I don't have the answer for that. I don't know if it's docking pay based on a lack of performance or effort or minutes, or if it's like, or if it's positive incentivizing this and just throwing out, like, bonuses to their charities to make them look bad if they don't try. Because if they don't try, then it looks like they don't care about their charities. Something to that extent, because it's getting kind of ridiculous. And I know there's a lot of players that do try, like, Paul George was giving it his all. I think he had like four assists and three steals in this one. Like, he was all over the court. Giannis was doing great. Chris Middleton was really out there playing excellent basketball, like playing for a new contract. And then on Team LeBron's side, there's almost every player was playing really, really well. But I guess my point is nobody was playing defense. But I still got a shot at Team LeBron this one. They did a great job, but I felt bad for my guys on Team Giannis.
They should just give the teams of each player on the winning team a win in the wins column if you win the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Then they can start tallying them off. That's actually a really good idea.
All right. My favorite thing of the weekend was the Diallo dunk over Shaq. And I want to preface this by saying, first, I know there's a lot of problems with the dunk contest. I know that now there's a lot of, like, it's, I get why they have so many attempts, and where if you're not, like, making contact with the rim or whatever, it doesn't count as an attempt. And so you can have realistically, you can have a few more times than three chances at these things. And I get that the judges are a joke, because all the judges are trying to be friends with these guys still. And the ladies and the gentlemen, I'm sure, are all wonderful people out there, but they're all, like, former players or coaches, and they're trying to stay friends and maintain friendships with these guys. And so they're all going to give them cream puff scores. And I realize that there's not enough dunkers, and for some of these guys, it's kind of a compensation award for not making the All-Star game. Like, Diallo was obviously chosen because people think that he can really get up, and when they selected him, they thought he could really get up. But, like, Collins was a makeup. The way he played from, like, mid-December till the All-Star break, it was a crazy good run for him. And so it was kind of like a makeup, like, oh, well, you were playing really well this last couple months, and you might have been a fringe All-Star guy, but we'll give you the dunk contest. And so there's not enough dunkers, and it takes too long to get through the stuff, and that's why there's not enough dunkers, and the judges are ridiculous. But at the end of the day, I saw a guy who's shorter than Shaq jump over him without an assist and hang off the rim with his elbow, and then rip his jersey open to put the S on his own chest while hanging from the rim by his elbow. That was insane. That was super awesome. It was really great. Not only was it executed perfectly on the first try, and he did the throwback to the Vince Carter, but he also had a little fun with it, pulled out the Superman while he's hanging from the rim. Really, you could do, if he wanted to say that he was the czar of the universe while you're hanging from a rim by your elbow, I'm pretty sure everyone believes that. I don't know if you can contest with anybody's opinions while they're hanging from a rim by their damn elbow. And so I love this dunk, and I thought it was definitely the best part of the weekend. And I also liked it for the reasons you said. I liked that there was a guy who a bunch of people, if you didn't watch him in college basketball, you probably really don't know who Diallo is because he doesn't get a ton of minutes for the Thunder. But he was able to, he really did a great job working the crowd. He brings out the basketball cart, and then that's not tough enough. He's working the crowd. He's getting people excited. He's surprising people. He's flexing out there. I like that it was a guy who doesn't get to play a ton, really owned the spotlight, and he did a terrific job. And it was an awesome dunk.
Yeah, my criticism isn't more toward Diallo. It's more toward the systemic issue of the dunk contest, which you've already established is that there's a lot of problems, but it is what it is. So Diallo obviously deserves that win. My problem with it is more so if we keep on romanticizing these dunks from players that are fairly solid in the league, and I know they don't get really an opportunity to do anything else, then it's kind of going to take away from the dunk contest in the long term, because it's essentially like everybody getting a medal type of thing. And like, there's nothing wrong with that before anybody hits my DMs about that. Like there's nothing face value wrong about that. But in this case, I think we're like, if we're going to start rewarding guys who are really good at dunking, but not rewarding guys who are all-stars that are really, really good at dunking, you're kind of going to prevent those guys from trying to be all-stars, I think, in just the mentality or long scape of things. And I know that people think as long as you're in All-Star Weekend, you'll be confident enough to try to be an all-star. That really hasn't happened in the past and really hasn't worked. Like, the last all-star we saw win a dunk contest and become an all-star afterwards was Blake Griffin in 2011. And obviously that's like a great example, but I mean, that's almost been, it's like almost 10 years now. Like, that's an eight years away. So I think there's like, there's a systemic issue within the dunk contest right now that needs to be fixed top to bottom rather than bottom to top. So it doesn't really have to do with the players as much. And I really think Adam Silver needs to look into this. Even if it's just having like two separate all-star events where there's like all-star players doing a dunk contest and then the best underrated high flyers that are doing a dunk contest, like that'd be fun. And then you can have the all-star dunker go against the underrated high flyer dunker, and like you could do something different. I just think that like if they keep romanticizing the dunk contest of these guys who are above average dunkers or really good dunkers in Diallo's case, since he's such a leaper, then I don't think they're going to like their end results. And I think less and less people are going to watch it, unfortunately. But that's just my pessimistic take on it, Colton. There's no shot to Diallo. He's a player, and I hope the best for him. If anything, his stock just rose a lot. I'm sure he just got like 50,000 followers on Instagram last night.
Well, it's sad because I think it's easy to fix, too. Like, there's two easy fixes right away that make it so much better. First, you shorten the attempts and lengthen the roster. So, like, you had more attempts from Dennis Smith Jr. on his final dunk over Wade than you had from Diallo the entire competition. That's just is no good. If you give it so like in the first round, every player gets only one dunk, whether he makes it or not, and then you extend the rosters to like 10 players, then you can have guys like Diallo and Collins, but you can also add guys like Westbrook and Giannis to the dunk contest and see what they have to say. And then everyone gets one dunk in the first round. And you could even, if you have 10 guys and you're only having one dunk in the first round to get to the next round, to get to that first cut, and maybe you're cutting like six guys in that first round with only one dunk, you get through that pretty quick. Then maybe once you get down to maybe two or four guys left, you bring out the former champion if he's healthy. And so Donovan Mitchell pulls off the suit from the booth, jumps over the table, and now he's dunking to keep his belt. And so I think if you just shorten the allowed amount of dunks in that first round, you can do a lot more fun stuff with it. The other thing, too, I texted you about this over the weekend, is you just got to have two journalists. You just got to have two or three journalists in the booth judging these things. Because you know what? Most of the players don't like us anyways, and we're not going to care either way. So when Dennis Smith Jr. puts it off the backboard four times in a row, then you have a journalist. You know what? That's a four. Now it's a four. I know he dunked it, but it took him forever. Come on. It's a four. It's a four. Shut up. It's a four. Yeah, that's what you need. Those two things and the dunk contest is already 1,000 times better.
I agree. I think an objective analyst, as objective as possible, there's going to be bias within every analyst, but I think that the as objective as possible is the goal. And like I said, this has just turned into kind of like a filler, and it used to not be. And if anything, dude, if I'm a player right now that's on the fringe of stardom, like if I'm a Ben Simmons, right, I'm on the real fringe of separating myself and trying to become better than Joel in the people's eyes, or I'm trying to become the next Giannis or LeBron in this case, joining the All-Star game and kind of making yourself known there in the public's eye might be the best case scenario for a player like that that's on the fringe of stardom. And to kind of give a reason here, like, and I'm not trying to throw Vince Carter under the bus, but there is an argument that if you take Vince Carter out of those dunk contests that he was in, that he won, that people don't have the same memory of Vince Carter that they have of him today. And that is a weird argument. I understand we're in a different world today where we can look up dunks on YouTube all the time now, but it is an actual argument that if Vince Carter isn't in this dunk contest, we might not have the same memory, which means that there is a possibility Vince Carter wouldn't have the same legacy, which also means there's a chance Vince Carter, if he wasn't in those dunk contests, might not be a Hall of Fame player. And like the same idea with Michael Jordan, not the Hall of Fame player thing, but just that one of his best moments was in the dunk contest of his career. Blake Griffin are the most recent one. One of his best moments of his career is going to be from the dunk contest. People remember the Kia jump. Like, I think I'll remember that for the rest of my life. And I think it's just like those specific moments that if you can be a star and be in the dunk contest and just have a good dunk that's well thought out, you can be like long lasting in people's memory and history because there's so many viewers in All-Star Weekend. But LeBron James has set this precedent that it's almost like not worth his time. And so all these younger players are doing the same exact thing. So I think if a guy came out there, and whether it was Giannis, Ben Simmons, whomever, I don't really know. Maybe it's, I mean, Luka can't dunk, but like one of these younger guys, DeAndre, and I don't know who it could be. Shai Gilgeous actually has hops. Like somebody who's younger that can kind of be a high flyer and come in here and do something different. And I thought it might be John Collins this weekend. I think that would be a really good idea. But it has to be a player that's like a Ben Simmons-type talent to really change the precedent moving forward. But ultimately, I'm not going to harp on this dunk contest too much. I'm happy for Diallo, and we'll see what happens in the future. My number one, my last spot in this one was a halftime show. Dick was amazing, and I think it's not said enough how bad halftime shows have been in sporting events for the past, like, ever. And I think that, like, the NBA has dealt with this in the past, too. Like, they've always had pretty good halftime shows and pretty good pregame stuff. But I think this J. Cole one was, like, legit. Like, I was sitting on my couch after, like, the second song, and I was like, oh, J. Cole's good. And I didn't realize he was doing a five-song set. Like, I was like, I'm literally watching a free concert or something I could just be watching that had millions of views on YouTube, like, right in front of me. Like, this is really good. And that was really cool to see, especially when it's just an All-Star weekend. It's not like an NBA Finals game, right? And it kind of showed a lot to, like, what – like the NFL at the Super Bowl, they kind of like that halftime show was a crap show. Like that was not good. And I think most people can agree to that. And
I don't know, from the screams that erupted from the women at my Super Bowl party that I had at my apartment, I think there's a lot of the population that would disagree with your Maroon 5 take.
Well, listen, maybe J. Cole should have took a shirt off. We just had like a linear example here, but actually, yeah, well, we'll see.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can see the NFL halftime shows being fetishized for the next like 5 years because of that. But they just can't get away from their Janet Jackson moment. But I just really like this halftime show, J. Cole. I hope that the NBA goes on this like idea of having like a real concert, five song set with a single performer, or if not two performers, and you know. And he even ended up doing the song he just did with 21 Savage, which was cool. And everybody got really excited if Savage was going to come out. And that would have been crazy. That would have broke the internet. But that did not happen. But still, it's just – it shows a lot of potential for the near future for halftime shows. And I know if you're a listener, we want to talk about basketball. I'm not trying to set up here and say I know everything about music. They shouldn't put me on a podcast for music 100%. But it was just – even for me who listens to – music, but not, I'm not like a huge aficionado. I knew what I was watching, and I was like, this is like actual great stuff, and this is going to help the league. And I think in a way that halftime show will help the league moving forward with fans more so than most of those skills competitions, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, well, and a big bounce back from last year's too. I mean, they start out the All-Star game with a weird Kevin Hart roast of each player joining the roster.
That was
and
really
then
awkward.
Yeah, super weird, super super weird, and then they had the scatting national anthem, and then while like Lemon wasn't terrible at the half, it also was kind of strange. There was like a bunch of strippers like breakdancing, and there was like it was a real like Compton gang vibe, and then they kept like cutting to like kids watching it, and I was just like, this is kind of awkward, right? Everyone else feel awkward about this? Okay, cool. But yeah, real good bounce back for just the NBA in general as far as last All-Star game to this All-Star game. We're going to take a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to just give you a preview of some stuff coming up this week, what our plans are this week with the All-Star break going on. We still will have shows, but we'll talk about that in a second here. First, some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we've been talking about the All-Star game, and now we have a little bit of a break from games over the next couple of days here. The next action for the NBA doesn't start until Thursday, this coming Thursday, and then the Timberwolves action doesn't start until Friday when they're in New York playing the Knicks. But Trey, we're going to be talking about the basketball leading up to this. We're going to be talking about the young guys, the second half push. We're going to really backtrack a lot of our takes and tell the Timberwolves, oh, wait, why would you ever tank? Who would ever talk about tanking? What do you mean? You just beat the Rockets. Why would you ever tank? That's stupid. That's silly. Ridiculous. Go for that 8th seed. Come on. So we're going to be talking about all that stuff. I'm excited about the next leg of content over All-Star break. And you should definitely keep downloading the podcast because we will not stop putting content out there.
Yeah, we definitely won't stop putting content out there. Download this podcast, guys. Give us a listen. Ask us on their nearest smartphone to pop that up or speaker. And also just follow us on Twitter. Ask us some questions if you need to or want to. Actually, that's a demand. Definitely follow us on Twitter. Ask some questions at LockedOnTWolves. But besides our own plugs, I think we're amazing, Colton. I have to say, I am getting super excited for these last 23-24 games this season. I've been looking at these standings for the past 3 days, and there's a chance, man. There's like an actual chance, and you're talking about the joking of the tanking and people questioning why we're even talking about that, because there is a viable way for us to actually get a pretty good seeded pick here. It's just outside the top five guys, and we'll get to the draft later this season, but it's not looking too concrete outside the top five guys for getting a real solid player. So screw that, essentially. Like, let's try to fight for the playoffs. And we have the Lakers in front of us, the Kings, the Clippers, and we essentially need to grab the 8th spot with the Clips. And I think it's a real possibility, man. It's a real, real possibility. And I think the most exciting thing about coming back from this All-Star break is going to be the rest that players were given, because a lot of these guys are going really hard. I think Andrew Wiggins missed 2 games in a row there, I think, but leading up to All-Star break, and he was feeling sick. I think he's better now. I think he had flu. And we've obviously had our own injuries with Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose, Tyus Jones, Robert Covington, so we've had a lot. But we just got Jeff Teague back. Derrick Rose is sort of back, but let's be honest, he's never really back. I think he's always playing a little hurt. And Tyus Jones is supposed to be back for the first game on Friday against New York. Supposed to be. So this is kind of like a minute restriction thing. He definitely has an ankle problem, and they don't want to push anything. If anything, I will just hold him out if need be, because it's the Knicks. Not saying that we're going to absolutely win that game. They have the worst record in the NBA currently at 11-47, or tied with the Suns for the worst record in the NBA. But they still have an exciting team to watch sometimes with Dennis Smith Jr. and DeAndre Jordan now. And it's a Madison Square Garden, and they're coming off their first win in about 17 games. So it's not really the best time to find New York in Madison Square Garden this season, at least, because they've been so bad, but now look okay. But essentially having a more healthy team is going to help us going into this this remainder of the season.
Yeah, I mean, all the Timberwolves need to do is sign Dwayne Wade to a one-day contract and put him in front of the rim, because then Dennis Smith can't score. So that's all they need to do. But, yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Yet again, the Timberwolves look like they're going to make this last stretch a real fist-clenching, breath-holding run for Timberwolves fans, and it's going to be down to the wire whether they're making it in or not. But they're definitely still in the hunt at 27-30 behind the Clippers, who have the 8th seed, 32-27. They're right there with the Lakers, and with the Kings for that A seed. So we'll be talking more about the health of this team. We'll be talking about the run that they could make. We'll be talking about all different kinds of aspects of this before we break down the matchups in the Knicks-Timberwolves game that's going down Friday. That's all happening this week, so make sure you keep downloading the podcast. Make sure you reach out with questions, with comments. You can contact us at Locked On T-Wolves. At Locked On T-Wolves is the Twitter account. Make sure you contact us there. But as for right now, we just want to thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.